The Sunday after Ascension, day, the Sunday before Pentecost. Yesterday is the seventh and final Sunday in Easter, and we have had several readings from the book of the Acts of the Apostles that emphasize the power of Jesus' resurrection during the rise of the early church. Over the last few weeks, we have been reading and exploring the book of Acts of the Apostles. And it's amazing to see the way the church spread throughout the world in the earliest days of Christianity. On this seventh Sunday of the Easter season, it is fitting that the first reading is about the ascension of Jesus. There is a real sense in which Jesus' resurrection and his ascension are two parts of one glorious act. He rose from the dead and he kept all, finally rising into heaven. Between the two risings were 40 days in which he took care of some crucial business. As St. Luke speaks, he says in a few verses of the book of the first chapter of the book of Acts, in my former book, that he's talking about the gospel, in my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about what Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. The small but important word began, Jesus began to do. It signaled that Jesus' ascension does not mark the cessation, the termination, but the continuation of his work as Lord and Messiah. So what St. Luke is saying is that now in my second book, I am going to tell you what Jesus continued to do after he was taken up into heaven. The first part of Jesus' ministry was on earth in his body by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then his body ascended into heaven, and that was the turning point in Jesus' life, in Jesus' mission. The second part of Jesus' ministry is from heaven through his body, the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts is all about. How the ascended Jesus began to turn the world right side up, so that God is king and we are his willing subjects. Thus, it was no accident that Jesus spent those 40 intervening days doing two things: convincing his apostles that he really had risen from the dead, and second, speaking of the kingdom of God. To promote the kingdom of God, his apostles had to be fully convinced witnesses of his resurrection. In spite of Jesus' intensive teaching on the kingdom, as we see after his resurrection and before his resurrection, before his death, his disciples were still confused. They were still clueless. As we read in the first verse of today's first reading, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of Israel? But I guess that wasn't a stupid question. Since Jesus had just spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom, it was at the forefront of their minds. Further, as good Jews, they knew all those Old Testament prophecies about the restoration of Israel. Luke's account of Jesus' birth contains the Benedictus and the Magnificat, which surely seems to speak of Israel's restoration. And from the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus preached, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus responded not by answering the question, but by reorienting his questioners. They wrongly assumed that they knew Jesus' agenda. So Jesus explains his real agenda. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The first thing to note in the agenda setting part of our text is the centrality of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in the center. He says, don't worry about times. Focus on the Holy Spirit. The only way you can promote the kingdom is to witness about me. And the only way you can witness is by the power of the Spirit of God. How would Jesus' apostles react to the last words and acts of Jesus Christ? With a rush to build shelters on the Mount of Olives, as Peter had suggested on the Mount of Transfiguration. With sadness at his absence, scattering back into their individual lives, as they seem to have done on Good Friday. Or with gladness at his promise, hurrying back to their homes to tell the story of Jesus rising and rising again. None of the above. They returned to Jerusalem, because that is exactly what Jesus told them to do. They went back. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The first great act of the apostles occurs when they hike back to Jerusalem and wait. We may find the waiting period at the beginning of Acts easy to skip over and go to the eventual coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Yet the interval makes an important point about how God will interact with these people. Presumably, the Holy Spirit would have come immediately after Jesus' ascension, but God waits. Rather, God has Jesus' followers wait, at least for 10 days. I like to think that in this waiting, they learn, or began to learn, that they are to be a responsive community, a community that waits upon God to initiate. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy because they were eager to receive the third person of Trinity, the Holy Spirit. They were looking forward to having the Holy Spirit. The waiting has an active quality to it, as David just mentioned in his children's talk. Going beyond merely sitting around and contemplating the past and future, the apostles wait secluded in a room upstairs where they are constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Along with others who follow Jesus, both men and women, the group remains secluded yet expectant. In their waiting, they obey Jesus' recent commands, but even more, they also express a readiness for the Spirit of God yet to come. They work in their preparation mode. I think St. Peter gives us beautiful instructions in his epistle reading today. where he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time." This is exactly what happened with the apostles. They were waiting upon the Lord. Then he says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert." I presume that's the best way to wait upon the Lord. Casting our care upon the Lord. And relying upon the Lord. The psalmist says, "I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child in my soul within me." That's the way casting our cares upon the Lord. To calm our souls and waiting upon the Lord. It is fascinating and illuminating to see how they waited for the Spirit. If we want to continue Christ's ministry of promoting the kingdom of God by witnessing about the risen Christ, here is what we must do as we wait. First, they were together as the body of Christ. They were together. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the upper room, maybe the same room where they had Last Supper with the Lord on Maundy Thursday, where they were staying. We cannot be witnesses on our own. What Jesus prays in today's Gospel reading is for the unity of his disciples. Jesus prays that his disciples may be one, as he is one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Notice how important it was for the early church that everyone was there. The absence of one apostle was so significant that one of their first items of business was the appointment of the 12th apostle. And note how St. Luke makes a point of including women in the waiting, praying, witnessing body. A foreshadowing of Prophet Joel's prophecy coming true on Pentecost. They were all together. That's the first thing. The waiting period conditions them to be attentive to God, so that they might respond when the time is right. They wait in a context of enormous and not fully explained expectations. They live in uneasy anticipation of the new realities that Jesus has initiated. Living like this requires just as much courage as if Jesus had told them to go out immediately and change the world using their own brains and muscles. They wait, not because they see it as their only option, but because they expect big things to come from God. Things in which they will be privileged to play important roles. The seventh Sunday of Easter season is the day to celebrate the ongoing work of the risen Lord, to pray without ceasing that the Spirit will empower us for witness, and then to actually go out into the world and bear witness to the risen Christ, so that the kingdom of God may come in all its glory. And now for us here on this journey through the weeks of Easter, we have arrived at the conclusion of where we will be going in the book of Acts. Next week, we will be celebrating Pentecost, when the church was born. So may the Lord refresh us with the fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit as we prepare ourselves for Pentecost. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.